The Tube is still where you go for sitcoms, soaps, sports, and the evening news. But for amateur video or vintage bloopers, not to mention some copyrighted clips, at least until the copyright holder complains, YouTube is where you want to be. This video sharing site has an estimated 12.5 million monthly visitors, making it one of the top 30 sites on the web, an unquestionable, if still money-losing, breakout success. Michelle Quinn wrote about it this week for the San Jose Mercury News. Michelle, welcome to OTM.
Hi, Brooke.
First of all, what kind of generalizations can you make about the content? I mean, is this mostly America's funniest home video quality? Is it mostly pirated TV and film? Is it mostly ads or archival material? Has it become smutty or violent?
I think that you hit some of their main categories there. There's one video really popular last week of a poor kid named Edgar falling down. It had like a million views, and I thought it was completely appalling. People tell me all the time that they go on there to see old Simpsons shows or old South Park or something that they missed a week ago or 10 years ago. But if you spend some time there, you'll start to see video responses to video. So there are people creating little mini dramas about their lives. So here I am taking my Prozac, and then here I am, you know, petting my cat. In one case that I found amazing, there was a guy who'd wear a mask and would do magic tricks, and he had a huge following. And one of YouTube's competitors signed him away, just like a ball club. You know, here's a guy in his living room, and they took him away. He did a goodbye YouTube video, and now you can find him on another site called Revver.com.
Do you find that somewhat bewildering that, you know, people who say, now I'm taking my Prozac, now I'm petting my cat, now I'm brushing my teeth, can actually assemble an audience? I mean, there's something sort of Warholian about these kinds of films.
It's kind of intriguing, the simple things in life being highlighted for a day. Like, there's one woman who has a bite of ice cream and has a brain freeze, and so you get to see her face contort. I forgot how painful a brain freeze is. But here I got to see it and relive it again from this woman. It is a new art form in a way of people documenting their lives in ways that haven't been done before.
And people are posting, what, about 35,000 videos a day on YouTube?
Yep, I think the new number is more than 40,000 videos are being posted a day.
For a long time, there's been a lot of video on the internet. How does YouTube change the equation?
YouTube came up with three breakthroughs. One is they let you watch the video on Flash, which is a software program that easily compresses the video and then expands it when you want to watch it. So that made it easy for people to upload and watch a video.
These are people who used to have to deal with issues of compatibility and dueling media players and so on before then?
You've got it exactly right. Two other things, immediate playback. And the third thing was that you can take the video and put it on a web page. So these three things happened. But the other big thing that happened was that a lot of people in the U.S. have high-speed internet, and taking videos and watching video has really increased. So all these things happened roughly at the same time, and YouTube was there.
Microsoft had conducted a study that found, and maybe we should consider the source, but it found that 40% of U.S. cable TV subscribers are unhappy with their current service because it lacks variety of content and features. And as a result, more and more people are planning their evening viewing through their mouse rather than through their remote. Do you think that's why YouTube is doing so well?
Well, of course, we can't necessarily trust the Microsoft survey. It does seem right from what I know from people in my life. They complain about their cable service all the time. And I can see a day where you have a little searcher out there on the internet who will gather for you a nighttime of entertainment that might include four short videos that are funny, you know, some longer videos, and maybe a series that you like to watch. Maybe we're not too far off from it, where the TV and the PC really merge as the same thing. You know, it's funny, when I talk to people who are under 24, maybe they're in college, and they said, we don't even watch TV in college because everybody has a laptop. So I think that for a younger generation, they're going to demand it more.
But as broadcast television begins to offer more and more of its shows on demand via the internet, will YouTube be able to get a piece of that action?
As they tell me, they're talking to every studio, almost every music company. They are talking to major retail advertisers. they see a role for themselves, but I don't really know how it's going to work with companies like NBC, CBS. You know, they might decide to put a tease on YouTube and then drive the traffic back to NBC's website or CBS's website. So that's the kind of thing, my guess is what's going to happen. YouTube sort of created this extra public space where you watch short video that hadn't been there before. And if you're a smart content company, you want to be in that space, even if it is to try to bring people back to where you are.
All right. Michelle, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brooke.
Michelle Quinn is a reporter for the San Jose Mercury News.